We need to get into the Word of God. And I've been asked to speak to you from a particularly exciting passage today. So I'm going to read to you from the Scripture. If you've got a Bible and you want to follow along, and these days that might be on your tablet or that might be on your phone or whatever, as you can see, it's up on the screen. I'll read it to you from the screen just in case my version is slightly different. So this is the passage that we're going to look at this morning. We'll read this passage, we'll pray, we'll commit the sermon to God, and then we're going to see what God wants to say to us this morning as a church and as individuals from this rather famous story. So this is Exodus chapter 3, and this is what the Scripture says. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There an angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, got it right, and the God of Jacob. At this Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites and Jebusites. Glad to get through that sentence. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Let's pray together. Father God, we want to thank you so much for the work of God that is happening all over the country. All over the country today, churches are meeting, large churches, small churches. All over the country today, the name of Jesus will be heard on television through songs of praise and on radio. All over the world today, people are gathering to worship you, and thank you that we are part of the body of Christ here. Thank you, Father God, that we come to worship and to meet with you. And just as Moses met with you at the burning bush and heard you speak to him, we pray that you would speak to us now and bless your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to get my other PowerPoint up. So, we know that throughout his life, Moses had many encounters with God. We know, for example, that he spent several weeks on top of a mountain receiving the Ten Commandments, talking with God face to face. We know that God allowed Moses on one occasion to see, quote, his back. Now, please don't ask me to explain that. I don't have a clue what that means, but the Scripture says Moses saw God's back. I just don't know what that means, but there we go. Moses had many, many encounters with God. Moses is described as a friend of God. We're told that God spoke with Moses face to face as a man speaks to his mate. That's the Hebrew. But this is the very first encounter. This is the very first time Moses encounters God. He's tending sheep, he's out in the desert, he's in a rocky, very hot place, and suddenly he sees a bush. And this bush is burning, but it's not burning. There's smoke and flames coming out of it, but the bush is not being destroyed. Moses goes over to have a look, and out of the burning bush, God speaks to him. Now, there are many things that we could say about this story, but I just want to pick up on one particular aspect of it this morning, and I hope you noticed it as we read it, because the part of the story that I want to take up this morning is this. God told Moses to take off his sandals because the place he was standing was holy ground. Now, I've not been to any of your houses, but I tend to imagine that if I were to come to your house, one of the first questions I would ask you on entering through the front door is this: do you want me to take my shoes off? Do you want me to take my shoes off? And some of you will say, yes, please, please take your shoes off. We know you, Andy. We know you've been walking through muddy fields and snow and all the rest of it, and your feet are dirty, shoes are dirty. Please take your shoes off. Some people even have slippers ready on hand for people when they take their shoes off. Other people say, no, it doesn't matter. I was in a home last week in Milton Keynes. I said to the lady, my hostess, shall I take my shoes off? She said, no, don't worry about that. No problem at all. Some people like you to take your shoes off when you enter their house. Some people don't. Shall I take my shoes off or not? In some cultures, it's automatic. In some cultures, particularly in the East, particularly in the Holy Land and other places, it's automatic that you take your shoes off. We remember the stories in the New Testament. Remember the story of the woman who washed Jesus' feet with a jar of ointment because Simon, Jesus' host, did not provide water or a towel for him to wash his feet. Jesus said, do you see this woman? You did not give me water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and she wiped them with her hair. This woman came in off the street and washed Jesus' feet. In John 13, Jesus washes the feet of the disciples. It was automatically assumed that when you went into a place, you took your shoes off. Now, we don't wash each other's feet. When I came into church this morning, Graham did not say to me, right, Andy, take your shoes and socks off, and I'll wash you. Why didn't you do that? I mean, come on.
Yeah,
what are you
saying?
what we have to say is this from Scripture. Where practices have changed, look for the principles. Where practices have changed, look for the principles. So there are lots of things we don't practice anymore that they practiced in Bible times. But where practices have changed, where biblical practices in particular have changed, we look for the principles. So I want to share with you this morning some of the principles, some of the lessons that God is trying to teach Moses, and through Moses and through the scripture, us, about this business of taking your shoes off, because the place where you stand is holy ground. So there's the question. Why did God ask Moses to take his shoes off? I want to give you three answers to that question this morning, okay? I want to give you three answers. And I want to share with you, I hope, practical challenges from each one. Praying that God will bless us, praying that we will rise to the challenge, and praying that God will teach us and instruct us. And I think the first answer to the question is simply this. It is an invitation. God is inviting Moses to touch his holiness. Take your shoes off, Moses, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. The place where you are standing is holy ground. Now think about where he's standing. He's on the side of a mountain in the desert. It would have been exceptionally hot. So when he takes his shoes, sandals off, his feet might have been burning on the stones under his feet. It would have been exceptionally hot. It would have been exceptionally rocky. But God says, this place is holy. And I'm inviting you, Moses, to touch my holiness. I'm inviting you, Moses, to partake in my holiness. And the truth of the matter is that wherever God is holy ground. So if we claim to be Christians, and if we claim that God is with us all the time, wherever we go is holy ground. That will govern how I live my life, if where I'm standing with God is holy ground. That will govern what I watch on television. That will govern what I read. That will govern the places I go to. If God is everywhere, and if wherever God is holy ground, and if I'm standing on holy ground, that governs my life. That presents a rule for my life, a challenge for my life. God is inviting Moses to recognize that wherever he is holy. So yes, we come into church and we're standing on holy ground this morning. And I believe we should look after our churches. We talk about the church being the house of God. We should take care of our buildings. We should look after them. It's lovely to see the flowers this morning. We should take care of our churches. But in church and out of church, wherever God is holy ground. Wherever you go is holy ground, because God is with you. We should live our lives with the awareness of the presence of God around us. Do you do that? I confess I don't always do that. But I should live my life with the awareness of the presence of God with me all the time. When I'm watching TV, when I'm reading a book, when I'm listening to the news, when I'm going shopping, when I'm going to work, when I'm meeting my friends. We should live our lives with the awareness of God's presence around us all the time. The scripture says that as Christians, he never leaves us or forsakes us. His ever-loving arms are around us to catch us when we fall. I should live my life with the awareness of the presence of God. And again and again and again throughout scripture, this command is repeated, particularly in the Old Testament. The command to be holy because he is holy is repeated again and again and again. Boy, what a challenge. What a challenge. Because I'm only too aware of my sin, and I'm only too aware of the times I let God down. And I was preaching the other week on the old Adam nature that's in me, and that needs to be crucified, says Paul. But what a challenge for us to live our lives daily, continually, with the awareness of the presence of God with us at all times. That will dictate my behavior, that will dictate my thinking, that will dictate the things I say, that will dictate the places I go. That will dictate the things I watch and the things I listen to. Living my life in the awareness of the presence of God. Now, something else that God is asking Moses to do here is to humble himself. Because taking your shoes off, culturally speaking, in those days, was a sign of humility. It was a sign of humility. You went into somebody's house, you took your shoes off. It was a sign of respect for that person, for your host. It was a sign of humility. It was a sign that you were prepared to humble yourself in the presence of others, taking your shoes off. And God is saying to Moses, I want you to humble yourself before me, so that I can come and live in you and through you and transform you into the person I want you to be. You know, we get this image of God, don't we? And rightly so, of being great and powerful and holy. And we think, how on earth can I come into the presence of God? Well, we can, because of what Jesus did on the cross. And you remember the exact moment Jesus died on the cross, the curtain in the temple came down, the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from everybody else. The Holy of Holies was the place where God was in the temple. Only the priest could go in there, and then only one day a year. But the curtain came down, torn from top to bottom, a reminder to us that now we have access to the presence of God. But a challenge to us that the God into whose presence we enter is holy. And he wants to transform us into holy people, set apart for him. We're going to sing this song in a moment. But I chose it deliberately because it so fits in with what I wanted to say to you this morning about this business of taking your shoes off. This is what it means to take your shoes off in the presence of God. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Come bow before him now with reverence and fear. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. We stand on holy ground. All the time. All the time. When we're at home, when we're in the shop, when we're at work, when we're in church, we are always standing on holy ground because the presence of God is with us. That dictates how I live my life. That dictates how I think. That dictates what I watch and what I do. The song goes on to say, be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. It goes on to say, be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. This dictates everything concerned with my life. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. So why did God ask Moses to take his shoes off? Moses, I want you to humble yourself before me. How we need to do that. There's no room for pride in the Christian heart. I may have been on a video. I may be speaking wherever. There's no room for pride. There's room for humility. I humble myself before God. And I recognize that he wants to transform me and make me into the holy person he designed me to be. Second answer to the question, it's an invitation to touch his holiness. So it's also a reminder that you can't run away without shoes on. Secondly, it's a reminder that you can't run away with your shoes off. Moses is standing on the side of a mountain. I've already said it would be rocky. It would look a bit like that. It would be stony. I haven't been to Mount Sinai. I've been to Israel. I didn't get to Mount Sinai, but I was talking to a friend yesterday who's climbed Mount Sinai. And he said it's incredibly rough terrain. He said it's incredibly rocky terrain. He said it's just like that, very, very stony. You can't run away when you're taking your shoes off. It's very hard to run with your shoes off on that terrain. Sometimes, boy, do I want to run away when God asks me to do something. And particularly with this business of being holy. God calls me to be holy because he is holy. And I want to say, Lord, I'm still prone to sin. I'm still prone to temptation. I'm still prone to give in. Remember Jonah? Jonah tried to run away with God. Moses, in the subsequent conversation he has with God, tries to run away. He actually tries to stamp his feet, but it hurts to stamp your feet on rocky ground when you haven't got your shoes on, doesn't it? It hurts to stamp your feet on rocky ground when you haven't got your shoes on. And Moses keeps saying, no, God, send somebody else. Here am I, send Aaron. Here am I, send somebody else. And Moses keeps trying to make excuses to get out of what God is calling him to do. And what is God calling him to do? God is calling him to be holy because he's holy. And Moses keeps making excuses. Oh, how many times do I make excuses? Lord, I let the Lord down all the time and I make excuses. Don't run away from what God's calling you to do. Maybe in this season, in this church, God is going to call you to do something for this church. Maybe he's going to call you because extra help is needed right now without a minister. Maybe he's going to call you to give an extra hand at the coffee morning, or an extra hand putting the chairs out, or an extra hand with the washing up. What is God going to call you to do? Maybe God's going to call you to be an extra hand distributing invitations at special events and occasions to the neighbourhood and witnessing to the community. What is God going to call you to do in this season, in this church, at this time? What are the leaders going to ask you to do? Don't make excuses. Don't try to run away. Be obedient to what God is calling you to do. Because you've got your shoes off, because you recognise that where you're standing is holy ground. You can't run away from rocky ground with your shoes off. And it's very hard to stamp your feet because it hurts. So that's my second answer to the question. When God calls, we're to be obedient. When God asks us to do something, we're to be obedient. Now maybe God isn't asking you to do something very specific at the moment. Maybe God is just simply saying, I just want you to continue to be faithful to me and to serve me in and through the church. Don't make an excuse not to do it. And here's my third answer to the question. Why did God ask Moses to take his shoes off? Firstly, it was a sign that Moses was willing to humble himself before God. It was a sign of God's holiness. Secondly, because you can't run away on rocky ground when you take your shoes off. And thirdly, because it was a sign of the coming inheritance. Someone else who was asked to take their shoes off in the presence of God was Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, he comes as the captain of the Lord's army, and the captain of the Lord's army says to Joshua, take your shoes off, for the place you're standing is holy ground. And then he goes on to say this, I will give you every place where you set your foot. I will give you every place where you set your foot. Do you remember in the passage we read that God said he was going to take the Israelites out of Egypt and into the promised land? He was going to take them out of slavery into freedom. He was going to take them away from where they were to a wonderful new land flowing with milk and honey, where they were going to defeat their enemies. God says to Joshua, I will give you every place where you set your foot, and no one will be able to stand against you as I was with Moses, so I was with will be with you. Every place where you set your foot will be yours. When we take our shoes off because we're standing on holy ground, it's a reminder to us that God can do the impossible. It's a reminder to us that God is all victorious. It's a reminder to us that wherever we go, in whatever situation we're in, God can give us the victory. Taking your shoes off is because you're standing on holy ground in the presence of God, not running away, not stamping your feet, is a reminder. It's a reminder that God can and will use you. And God can and will do great things through you if you trust him and put your faith and trust in him. So it was a sign of the coming inheritance. It took them 40 years longer to get into the promised land than it should have done. because of their disobedience, because they rebelled, because they stamped their foot, because they tried to run away. It took them 40 years longer, and Moses never did get into the promised land, except for the transfiguration when he appears with Jesus on the mountain. A reminder that God will give you the victory in your life for whatever the battles you're facing when you put your faith and trust in him. So here are the lessons from the burning bush. Expect God to speak. God will speak to you. Don't argue when God speaks to you. Don't stamp your feet. Don't try to run away. It's hard to do that on rocky ground. Aim to be holy because he is holy. That dictates every aspect of your life. Remember what God wants to use you. Remember God wants to use you. Remember God will direct you so that you can move forward boldly with him. My dad died around New Year 14 years ago. Just before, in the summer, when my dad, the year my dad died, that summer, we made a trip, a car trip together with my mum. We were going from Weston-super-Mare to Cardiff. It was my birthday. And the reason we were going from Weston-super-Mare to Cardiff was because I wanted to go to the Doctor Who exhibition. Because I'm a huge Doctor Who fan, okay? My dad is a huge science fiction fan. My birthday, yeah, great, Andy, let's go from Weston-super-Mare to Cardiff. Let's go to the Doctor Who exhibition. My mum has never been so embarrassed as when we were standing in the TARDIS and they said, will all children who want to fly the TARDIS come to the front, and Dad and I rush forward. My mum has never been so embarrassed. As we were leaving Weston-super-Mare to go to Cardiff, I said to Dad, let's use my sat-nav. I'd recently acquired a sat-nav, first time. 14 years ago, remember. Let's use my sat-nav. Dad had never been in a car with a sat-nav before. And so we got in the car, and as we came out of Weston-super-Mare, it said, turn left, turn right, you know, go straight over at the roundabout, and so on. And Dad was enjoying that. And then we got on the motorway. And then for 25 miles, the sat-nav didn't say anything. For 25 miles, the sat-nav was quiet, was still, it didn't speak. After about 25 miles, it said, take the next junction on the left. And Dad, during those 25 miles, looked at me and he said, well, that thing's useless. It's not talking. I said, Dad, the reason it's not talking is because we're on the right road. We're on the right road. You don't need to do it. It doesn't need to talk to you. You're on the right road. Some years later, I was pastor of a church in Stanmore. And one of the members of my congregation, one of the members of my church, came to me and she said, Andy, God hasn't spoken to me in a long time. I don't feel I'm getting any guidance. I don't feel I'm getting any direction from God. And I remembered that journey. And I remembered Dad's words. See, if we believe that God leads us and guides us, then God is the divine sat-nav. And sometimes you may not be hearing anything from God because you're in the place he wants you to be. You're on the right road. You're heading in the right direction. Sometimes you may not get any directions from God because he doesn't need you to turn left or right or make a job change or marry that person or whatever it happens to be. Sometimes God may be silent because he's quite happy with you and the way you are and the place you're in. When God needs you to turn left or to turn right, he will speak. When God needs you to go straight over at the roundabout or take the second left at the next traffic light, God will produce a burning bush. God will speak. God will lead you. God will guide you. But if you've got your divine sat-nav turned on, if every day you're praying, if every day you're reading your Bible, if every day you're listening out for the voice of God, when the time comes for God to speak to you and God wants you to go in a different direction, you will hear his voice. I guarantee it. If you've got the sat-nav switched on, if you're tuned into God. But in the meantime, keep going. Keep going. And remember, everywhere you go is holy ground because God is there. That dictates how you live. That dictates how you think. That dictates what you say. That dictates what you do. Remember, when God asks you to do something, it's very hard to run away when you're standing with your shoes off on holy ground. Very hard to run away. God won't let you run away, and it's very hard to stamp your feet. And remember that God in your life will give you the victory. Every place you set your foot will be a victory place, will be a winning place, will be a good place, will be a great place, will be a promised land place, because that's where he's guiding you. Have your divine sat-nav turned on. Listen to the voice of God daily. And when God wants you to move, boy, will he tell you. There'll be a burning bush and you'll have no other option. But please, friends, live your life remembering that you stand on holy ground. Let's pray together. Have you got your divine sat-nav turned on? Are you listening for the voice of God? Maybe in this season of this church without a pastor at the moment, what's God asking you to do? Maybe he's not asking you to do anything. Maybe he's just asking you to remain faithful, to be holy, to live a life that pleases him. Maybe that's all he wants of you at the moment. You're on the right road. You're on the motorway. But maybe there's something God wants you to do. Maybe there's something more you could do for God. What is it? What's he saying to you? Lord, thank you for this story. For many, many years, Moses had been working in the desert, tending sheep. And you hadn't spoken to him because you were quite content. And then suddenly and dramatically you speak to him and you tell him to change the whole course of his life. Thank you that you do that. You do that for us. Thank you that you let us be until the moment comes when you want us to do something new, something different. When there is some work we can do for you using the gifts and talents you've given us. May we all live our lives as if we are constantly standing on holy ground. May we never run away when you ask us to do something or stamp our feet saying, Lord, I can't do that. May we know that every place we set our foot is a victory place because God is with us. You can give us victory over sin and temptation. You can give us victory over doubt and fears. You can give us victory when we fail. Help us to live our lives continually in the recognizing that we are in the presence of God, standing, walking on holy ground. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to sing that song.